Good morning, welcome. My name is Katie Bridges. I'm a PhD student at LSU, and I'm going to talk to you all today about some changes in soil health in a perennial pasture overseeded with some winter annuals. Okay, so a little bit of background. This project is funded by a conservation innovation grant through the NRCS. We get to work in South Mississippi on a privately owned beef cattle operation. The producer started using a very highly diverse mix of winter annual forages about 4 years ago, and he uses a mix of grasses and legumes and brassicas with the intention of he wanted to increase his organic matter, reduce his nutrient loss, increase his water infiltration rate, and generally improve his soil health. He also noticed that after he had planted this mix of annuals, he was seeing, I think as was mentioned earlier, different species were dominant in different areas of his field. So that led to some of our objectives. We wanted to determine how this use of winter annuals was affecting his soil health over time. And then our second objective was to determine if there was a connection between the plant species distribution and soil properties. I'm just going to focus on some of the results we have for this first objective. So it's a perennial bahia grass pasture. It's on a loring silt loam soil type with a slope that ranges from 2 to 12%. The annual precipitation is approximately 150 centimeters, and it's about, his entire acreage is about 300 acres. And our sampling area, which is pictured here in this aerial view, is about 30 acres. He uses a mob grazing management style, in which case he's intensely grazing a small area for a very short amount of time, moving those cattle off quickly and letting that area regrow several weeks, so it has a long rest period. In late October is generally when he drill seeds his mixture of winter annuals. And if you take a look at this picture, the green dots represent sites that we started sampling when this project started in the fall of 2014, and we've been sampling those same sites throughout. In the fall of 2015, we added three new sites. They're represented by the blue dots up there. And now that we have these sites selected, we're going to continue sampling from these areas through the duration. So as I said, sampling began in fall of 2014 and continued to fall of 2015. This year we started biannual sampling. We sampled in the spring and again in the fall, just recently. The soil cores are 10 centimeters in diameter, and they go to a 30 centimeter depth, but we have sectioned that into 7.5 centimeter increments. So to get an overall view of soil health, which is still debatable, as we heard earlier, we're looking at the biological, chemical, and physical aspects of the soil. And today I'm going to not mention all of these, but just focus on a few. And just at the top two depths, which is 0 to 7.5 centimeters and 7.5 to 15 centimeters. Before I dive right into the results, I wanted to give you again the aerial map view so you have an idea of the areas that I'm talking about as I go through the results. So if you remember, the summit, back slope, foot slope 1, as well as back slope 3 are all original sample areas that began from the beginning, or were there from the beginning. And then the foot slope summit and back slope 2 were added in 2015. Okay, so first we want to talk about organic matter, because that's apparently what we agree on as being very important to soil health is organic matter. So this is looking at this first graph on the right, or your left, is looking at the top depth and organic matter in that top depth. They increased in certain locations across time. So in fall 2014, the backslope and summit 1 were lower and then increased with time from 2015 to 2016 to about 7% organic matter. Now, of course, we're going to continue to monitor this to see if this will continue to increase or if it's maybe reached a stable level. At the second depth, which is the graph on your right, the organic matter was, it varied by location, but not by time, really. And the lowest point was at a foot slope, and was the same pretty much each year we sampled at 2.8% organic matter. Then we looked at the total carbon. And total carbon, again, we were looking at locations across time, and most of them were stable and steady, except for back slope 3. This area, and you'll see later on, is pretty different from the rest of the site in its lack of nutrients. But in particular, this total carbon graph is showing that it has decreased from 2014-2015 to 2016. Again, there's also that fall spring, so that may be causing some difference there as well. If you look at the second graph, the graph on your right, the second depth, total carbon, again, at that back slope 3, is doing something strange. It has increased at the second depth. So we're not quite sure why that is. We're going to continue to do analysis and see if we can determine what's going on there. Okay, this is showing the relationships between arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi and phosphorus and nitrogen in the soil. I'm sure most of you are aware that arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi are in a mutualistic relationship with a plant host and acquire nutrients from the soil for that plant. So these gradient maps are showing that relationship. The map on your left is looking at arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, and the darker blue areas show areas of high concentration, and then it decreases as the colors get lighter. So as you can see, the areas of darker blue for the AMF correspond to very light colored areas for the extractable phosphorus, which is at the top on the right, and also nitrogen, which is at the bottom right. And then again, where those two are both highest, at the lowest point of our sampling area, which is the foot slope there, the AMF is actually at its lowest. All right, the actinomycetes we found decreased from 2014 to 2015 and 2016. This is maybe due to climatic conditions at the time of sampling. 2014 was the driest time that we ever sampled, and actinomycetes have been found to be a little bit better able to persist in a drier situation. So perhaps it is due to the date of collection. The saprophytic fungi we found were consistently higher at the second depth. So time didn't make a difference with this group of microbes, just depth. And as I was saying, they're always consistently higher at the second depth of 7.5 to 15 centimeters. Possibly this is due to perennial plant roots, going farther and deeper into the soil, providing that carbon source for the fungi, and perhaps there is less competition with bacteria for that carbon. Then the enzyme activity that we looked at both glucosidase and glucosaminidase, and they followed a similar pattern. So right here in this graph, we have glucosidase and total carbon, the relationship between the two. There is a correlation there at the graph on your left. That's at the top depth, 0 to 7.5 centimeters. And as you can see, there's a positive correlation between the total carbon and the beta-glucosidase activity. And then at the second depth, 7.5 to 15 centimeters, which is on the right, there is this little bit of a weaker connection there. Right, so we've seen a trend of increasing organic matter in certain locations over time, and as I said earlier, we'll continue to monitor that to see if it continues or if it's possibly reached a steady state. Total carbon is higher at the 7.5 to 15 centimeter depth in that one location, that back slope. We are going to see maybe there's an influence of plant species or something of that nature. We'll continue, like I said, to study that and analyze that. The AMF were found in greater abundance at low nutrient or nutrient poor areas, which is expected. And then actinomycetes, strangely enough, their population declined from 2014 to 2015 and 2016. And the saprophytic fungi, we'll continue to watch and see if they are consistent in being higher in greater abundance at that second depth, regardless of time. Like I said, perhaps it's from less competition with bacteria or a carbon source in the perennial plant roots. And then the enzyme activity that was positively correlated with total carbon. We'll continue to see if perhaps the total carbon continues to increase or if it changes at all. We'll see if there is a change in that enzyme as well. Our continuing research is to determine the relationship of soil properties to the distribution of plant species and perhaps to see if there's a seasonal effect between the spring and the fall. All right, so I need to thank the NRCS for this conservation innovation grant, my professor, Dr. Lisa Foltz, and the Hirst family. They are the owners of this beef cow operation, and they've kindly let us do research on their place. So if you have any questions, I'll take them now.